Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056. Or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, hello, 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 and praise the Lord to everyone that has tuned in so far. We'd like to say welcome, welcome, welcome to another Praise Tabernacle Bible study, another Tuesday night just before Thanksgiving. So we want to say thank you for tuning in and wish everybody a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And we just want everybody's families to be blessed. And we just want to encourage you tonight and thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, and we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all your support and all that you do, you know, as you tune in to our Bible studies on Tuesday night. On behalf of our Bishop Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Sister Zachary, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. And we have all of our panel members that have tuned in thus far. We say thank you for tuning in. I thank you guys for all that you do. My name is Elder Taylor. I'm your host for the Bible study. This is your first time tuning in. And we have another great, great speaker tonight, another teacher, a young man that I'm very proud of. I'm glad to be one of the godparents to one of his children. And I just want to thank him and his wife. We love them very much. Our very own Minister Tolbert will be teaching tonight, dynamic young minister. And we just want to say, Minister Tolbert, the floor is now yours, sir.
Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Can I hear you?
I can hear you.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening.
All right. All right. Thanks. Glad to be on board tonight. Thank God for everyone that decided to tune in. And I definitely pray that you all get something on tonight. Tonight we're going to be coming from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. This is our topic, comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And I will read the scripture, and it reads, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And the Lord gave me for a topic, good connection, bad reflection. Topic on tonight, good connection, bad reflection. I'm just going to start with prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come into the midst on tonight, Father God, and allow your Holy Spirit to reign free, Lord, upon your people, Lord. Touch those that are listening on today, Lord, for we know that they could have did anything else on tonight, but they are here listening, expecting a word on tonight, Lord, and I pray that they are fulfilled on tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would just continue to look out and just continue to be in the midst and take over. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So this is
Minister Tolman.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that title again for me?
I'm sorry?
Can you repeat your title again of the Bible study?
Yes, it's Good Connection, Bad Reflection.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Amen. So this is Paul's final letter to the Galatian church. He's going to address a few things. Those things include unity, bearing burdens, and your connection with God. It is important to stay connected with God and have a good connection with your brothers and sisters. Amen. Starting at verse 1, and the word reads, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." As Christians, we have to look out for one another. We have to look out for each other sometimes. We have to be there for others. So if we develop a good relationship with another brother or sister, we should be able to help when they're down or when they're going through something. And it's our job. We have to be positive and maybe share some of our own experiences to help restore someone. Give an encouraging word or just share your own testimony in order to help someone. That's how we can be able to restore our brother and sister. And if we can't do that, now we have a good connection with them, but we don't have, but it's a bad reflection on you if we can't show that we are being what we are supposed to be. If we can't be that person that can take on the fault take on the fault of others, amen, then we're showing a bad reflection. And a bad reflection would be if you know that someone is going through, but you won't even help them. So that's a good connection, but a bad reflection. You have the connection because you know them, but it's a bad reflection because you refuse to help them.
That's good.
Amen. Verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Amen. Christ is our perfect example. He took our burdens and nailed them to the cross. So we just have to follow in his footsteps and with each other and just bear our brothers and our sisters' burdens. So if we are bearing each other's burdens, then it shows that we have a good connection. It shows that we have a relationship. But if we don't, then that's a bad reflection on Christians. Amen. Does anyone have anything to say on the panel on that?
I like
Thank
to add
you,
that.
Minister.
Go ahead, Evangelista.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Minister Tolbert, great chapter to bring to our attention on tonight. When just that first verse, it reminded me of one time that I went to a grocery store, and there's a cashier that I see there a lot. And this particular day that I went, her attitude was awful. I mean, it was, she was just rude. I mean, the way she was talking to people, just kind of throwing the money at people and everything. And as I'm reading the scripture, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, I didn't know what she was going through. I didn't know why she had the bad attitude. But the word says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. So I could have been the one in that position. Now, there was one of two things could have happened. My attitude could have became bad because of her attitude.
That's right.
Right.
Let me say that again. My attitude could have became bad because of her attitude. But instead, I just began to think, first of all, I don't know what she's going through. So what I just began to do was encourage her. And the way I encouraged her, I was like, I really do appreciate you being here today. I appreciate, you know, I know it's a lot going on. There's a lot of people here in the store. But I appreciate that you showed up today. And it kind of caught her off guard, you know, because there may have been other people who probably did jump with a bad attitude or didn't say anything to her. But I just wanted to let her know that I appreciated her. She didn't throw me my money, but I didn't, you know, she just said, thank you. I don't know what that did, but that reminds me of that scripture right there. Because you don't know what somebody is going through. You don't know if they got cussed out. You don't know if they just lost their job. So their whole disposition could have changed because now they have that on their mind. And we as Christians, we shouldn't jump with an attitude immediately towards them. We're supposed to come with the spirit of meekness and encourage them. Because it could be us in that position.
I'd like to ask something real quick, Mr. Tober. I like the fact that Paul says they are spiritual. You know, that makes a big difference when you're hooked in to the spirit of the Lord, when you're hooked in into the spirit of the Holy Ghost. They that are spiritual, you know, because the spirit kind of helps us recognize some things that we wouldn't see normally in our flesh. And so instead of being a religious person, judging a person, like Evangelist Stan said, you know, we don't know what a person's going through, you know, because there's a big difference between being a spiritual person and a religious person. You know, I'd rather have a spiritual person, a spirit, someone that's carrying the spirit of the Lord with them, on them, in them, around them, about them, to come help me. You know, I really don't want a religious person because a religious person can be judgmental. A religious person can think themselves higher than you. A religious person can think themselves better than you because of maybe what you're going through. But like you said, as we read the scriptures, a spiritual person does it in meekness, with kindness, with love, with joy, because they're carrying the spirit of the Lord. This is why Paul says they that are spiritual.
Spiritual.
You know,
that's right.
So they that are spiritual and not religious, can help restore a brother or a sister, you know, and it would kind of help, it would kind of guide them and how to do it, and what to say, you know, where a brother, a religious person can say the wrong thing, can come wrong, can, you know, and not be in tune with the spirit of the Lord.
That's right. That's right, Elder. And I'd like to thank you both for your comments. I'd like to add something to what you just said, Elder. So when you spoke about the spiritual person. Now, think about this. Now, that spiritual person, obviously, they have a good connection with the Lord. They have a good connection with God. So that's why they're spiritual. But see, when you look at it, that religious person, they just are religiously doing things over and over. That doesn't mean that they have a good connection with God. That just means that they're more so following certain rules, kind of like how we said with the Pharisees and Sadducees. When you looked at them, they were religious, but they didn't have a good connection with God. So at the end of the day, that was a, you know, being spiritual, that's a good connection, but being religious could be a bad reflection on Christianity, because instead of you showcasing God and showing the love and kindness of God, now you're just, you know, showing a different side. You're just hooking on to the putting on a front, in which would be the religious aspect of it. There's certain things that we can do religiously, you know, and don't have much to do with God, just holding on to the religious aspect, which is continuously doing something over and over, or tradition, so to speak. So that's why I said that's an awesome comment. Thank you all on that. And then Evangelist Stanton, with your comment, one thing that you said about the young lady that you spoke with, one thing that came to mind when you said that, you know, you just gave her a little bit of encouraging words, and from there she at least said thank you. You know, you said her attitude was nasty, but a scripture comes to mind of that situation was dealing with what you said. See, you gave her encouraging words, which was a soft answer turns away wrath. So at least at that point she came into her situation, came into her job upset. But at least when you gave her some positivity, at least that kind of turned it away, where she was, at least she didn't get nasty with you. She at least told you thank you. So those are perfect examples of certain scriptures. So I thank you all for those comments. But that shows that you have a good connection with the Lord, and that, you know, by you at least giving that soft answer, turning away wrath, that was also just an awesome job. And I thank you all for the comment. Amen. So verse 2 on to verse 3. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So when I look at this in just an angle that I took, in order for you to think of yourself as something, it may be because you have a good connection with people that may have put you in a certain place where you're higher up, right? But now that you're doing better, sometimes that can be arrogant. So you can have a level of arrogance, and that's a bad reflection on Christians if you can become arrogant because you've reached a certain level, you've reached a certain height, you've reached a certain status. So if you're thinking of yourself to be something when really you're nothing, you deceive yourself, you're fooling your own self. And that was one of the things that God just put on my heart, just to speak and to say that you don't want to put yourself on such a pedestal, because you're fooling yourself by even putting yourself, elevating your own self, thinking that you're something, versus realizing that we ain't nothing but flesh, amen. And we are striving to be more spiritual, so we can't fool ourselves, amen. And everybody knows someone like that, or that have we've experienced someone. We may have experienced that ourselves, as to where, you know, you're on such a platform and you think of yourself on high and things of that nature, versus just being humble. Amen. So that's one of the takes that the Lord gave me on that scripture. You all have anything to add to that on the panel?
No, I don't, not at this time.
Okay. Okay, no problem. We'll go forward. Amen. For if a man think of, oh, go ahead.
I got one thing, Mr. Tobin. Great lesson. It's a great book, too, written by Paul. But that verse, third verse, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, and it's a lot of us. It's a lot of folk at a certain level, especially in the church, our ministry. I think they're on a certain level that they become less humble to folk, you know. And I was reading something, I think, the other day about a pastor who just and sat at the front door of his church while people were coming in. And the ministers, or the leadership came in, didn't say nothing to him. The regular congregation was coming in. But it was just one little girl, I think she's about 5 years old, had some candy in her pocket and gave it to the man that was sitting at the door and patted him on the shoulder, and the mother eventually brought her into church. And that pastor came on in through the back door, got cleaned up, presented himself as he usually do every Sunday, walked into the pulpit, and that was his sermon for that Sunday. And you can imagine, the addiction. And it shouldn't have to go to that level of us just being humble, no matter what you think you know, who you think you are. And it's an example that Jesus gave when he was walking with his disciples for 3 years. That's all I got.
Awesome job, Elder Blue. Thank you. Thank you for that. So it's extremely important just to be humble, which is the bottom line of that scripture. Just be humble. Don't think of yourself as more than what you are. It's very good to be humble. Even Jesus humbled himself, as they say with the scripture. He humbled himself and took on the form of man. And him being humble, knowing that who he was, who he is in Christ, and became the form of man, became the form of a servant, he humbled himself. But we can't try to put ourselves, like I say, on any type of pedestal. Just be humble and remain who we are. Amen. Like last thing I would say on that, verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Truth be told, you should put in work as a Christian. Then you can be happy or take pride in your actions versus comparing yourself to someone else. It's okay to be happy about being the best version of you. It's okay to be happy about helping other saints. That's a good connection. But comparing yourself to someone else is a bad reflection, because we should only brag on the Lord and not ourselves. Also, on another note, telling everyone that you helped someone is a bad reflection. So we got to be careful. We can't be the ones to put a bad reflection out there. We want to establish good connections with the saints, and we also want to just be a good example within our own work, within our own example. Hey, amen. Does anyone have anything to add to that before we go forward? Amen. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things, all good things. Amen. I got a few angles with this scripture. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. So we should keep each other encouraged through the word. which shows good communication and shows a good connection. Also,
right,
whoever is receiving the word of God should want to continuously share those good things with the teacher, which also shows a good connection. And one of my last takes on this verse in particular, we should be able to get close enough with each other to teach each other, and no one gets upset. No one gets the big head. We don't try to act funny with each other, even though we're trying to come together to learn. Because if we're coming together to teach each other, that shows a good connection. But if we at each other's throats, then that shows a bad reflection.
Wait. What you got?
Hey, man, Elder, what were you saying, Elder Taylor?
I'm good.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had heard you in the background. Amen. Is anyone saying anything on that before we go forward? Okay. Amen. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is a very simple law, very simple scripture. You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. Amen. You can't trick God, because at the end of the day, he gets the last laugh. Amen. So it's a very simple law when it comes down to reaping and sowing. It's not really extremely complex. It's all about the work that you put in and you get that out. So if you put in good work, you get that back in return. You put in bad, you get that back in return. So you reap what you sow. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. So this verse talks about the flesh versus the Spirit. So when we look at the flesh versus the Spirit, one thing that comes to mind is your flesh and your Spirit of God lives together in the same body. Amen. So those two are constantly warring against one another. It's constantly a battle going on within yourself of the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh has its own desires and lusts that are contrary to the Spirit of God. The flesh wants to show your wild side, but the Spirit wants to get you closer to God. Amen. This battle continues on and on, and there's plenty of examples that I can use, but we know what that battle is like. We know because we live it every day. We know that we have a battle within ourselves of our flesh, certain things that we want to do, but then that Spirit kicks in for us to get closer to God and do the things that are of God. So we know exactly what that's like. And see, there's another scripture that says, speaking on the flesh, to be carnally minded is death. And this death not only means the end of life as we know it here on earth, you know, but that leads to our second death. So we can't worry about what the flesh, because the flesh is not going to give us that reward that we really want. We don't want to end up in hell. We want to go to heaven, so we want to be closer and operate in the Spirit, because the benefits of being in the Spirit are greater. If we operate in the Spirit, then we reap everlasting life. So that's the goodness. So to be spiritually minded is life in peace. And this life in peace is an eternity with Christ in heaven. So it is far greater for us to be connected and operate in the spirit versus the flesh. So,
amen.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I actually did have a comment back in verse 5. I was having a little trouble with my phone. I'm so sorry, you guys. When you're talking about in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden, you know, it's up to us to study and it's up to us to get into the presence of God, us alone. And I actually heard a story today, very short story today, that really gives us a good example of this. I met a lady today and we were talking, and she was telling me her daughter was 3 some years ago, but when her daughter was 3 years old, they were at the nail salon getting their nails done, and it was around Christmas time. And her daughter was talking about Santa Claus, and you know, just she was excited about Santa Claus and making cookies and what Santa was going to bring to their house and just all about Santa Claus. And there was a woman there at the nail salon that the little girl was talking to. So the woman, who was an older lady, said to her, baby, do you not know anything about Jesus? And the little girl said to her, oh, no, I love Chuck E. Jesus.
Chuck E.
So, yeah, so when she said that, her mother immediately said, oh, my gosh. Her mother was like, she knows about Santa, but we haven't taught her about Jesus. And the strange thing about it is her mother and her husband are Christians.
Wow.
Christians. But they never really told her because they thought she would not understand. Yet, she knew everything about Santa, you know, from daycare and from her mother and them getting the tree and all of that. But her mother never really talked about Jesus. So when the woman said, do you know anything about Jesus, she thought she said Chuck E. Jesus. So her mother went home that day. She went home and she told her husband, she said, look, this is what happened at the nail salon. We have got to teach her about Jesus, because even though we don't think she understands, she did all that talking about Santa Claus when she could have also been talking about Jesus. And it's our responsibility as parents to share the word with your children. Even though you don't think they understand, you still share the word. You still pray with them. Even if they're all over the place, you say, okay, it's prayer time. Let's come together. Let's bring it in. We're going to have prayer. You know, whether you teach them to get on their knees, it is our responsibility as parents to do that for our children. And then even our own responsibility to read and study the Word of God.
Sorry.
See, we can't use the excuse, I didn't know, or wait for somebody else to study it and then tell you. Because how do you know what they're telling you is truth if you don't study for yourself, if you don't take time out and read the word for yourself, if you don't take time and have that relationship with God, get into his presence for yourself? You cannot ride on anybody else's coattail. And you can't walk around yourself talking about Chuck E. Jesus when you need to be calling on the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Definitely. And it's very important, like you said, that we have to, I'm glad you brought that up, we definitely have to teach the young ones about Jesus. If they're old enough or smart enough, so to speak, to understand everything else, they can understand Jesus. You know, we don't need to pacify them when it comes down to the Lord. That's one of the foundations that we have to set. And, you know, I found myself a little bit guilty of that myself, just trying to quiz my kids on certain things here and there. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, I got to, you know, deal with y'all more on a one-on-one basis just so that y'all know. But they began to know things a little bit more as time progressed, but it still ain't where I want it to be as much as they go to church. So that was a very important comment that you just had, because we definitely have to deal with that in our everyday lives. We have to make sure that the little ones know Jesus. We have to put that in their mind and in their heart to begin with. Any other comments? Beautiful comments.
Okay. Marie, read verse 8 and 9 one more time. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we just got to stay in the race, and we don't have to worry about what else is going on. So stay connected with the Lord. Maintain a good connection with the Lord so that we can receive the reward at the end. So, you know, there's a reason that we're in this race. We're in the race to get the prize, and the prize at the end is an eternity with Jesus. So we have to operate in the Spirit so that we can be able to make it to that point. So we got to know what we in this thing for, what we're dealing with, everything, these issues, this suffering that comes along with Christianity. All of those things are because we want to be closer to the Lord. So we got to know what we're doing this for, and that keeps us motivated and stay in the Holy Spirit. So we need to have a good connection with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit versus operating in the flesh, which is a bad reflection on us and keeps us away from Jesus. So don't operate in the flesh. Operate in the Spirit. Verse 10, final verse. Verse 10 reads, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Every chance we get, we should be looking out for each other. It should become as a routine or a standard for us to look out for each other. There's no way that we should call ourselves Christians and we not looking out for our brothers and sisters. It is important. That's the reason why this scripture is here, for us to stay encouraged and stay connected along with each other. If we can't get together and get the support that we need from anyone else, we should be able to get the support from the saints. If we can't count on nobody else, we should be able to count on the support of the saints, which means that we would have a good connection because we're showing unity in the church. If we could come together as saints, then we're showing unity, and that's a good connection in the church versus showing separation, which would be a bad reflection on Christians. So if we're showing that separation, we can't never support each other. We can't never do this and do that. We can't be in the same room together. That's a bad reflection on Christianity. That's a bad reflection on those who are spiritual, because we can't get, we can't come together amongst each other. We can't let any and everything come in between us. We have to be able to have a good connection in the church. Anything that you all want to say before we close? Any final comments?
Yeah, I like to say that, you know, our flesh usually gets in the way when we don't, we lose our aspect of helping each other and loving each other and caring for each other, because we don't agree with everything somebody else is doing or everything somebody else is saying. So we just kind of, you know,
right.
we don't stay in touch with them. We don't stay connected with them. But the Spirit shouldn't allow us to do that. And the Spirit doesn't allow us to do that. It's our flesh.
Right.
It's our flesh that overtakes the Spirit of the Lord and not allowing the Spirit of the Lord to move and teach us and, you know, because we know that there's going to be things that we're not going to agree on 100% of everything that's said or done. And why don't we? Why don't we agree on everything that is said or done? Because usually some people are working in the Spirit, and some people are religious.
Sorry.
They're working in their flesh. That's generally the rules or the reasons why, you know, a lot of people that claim to be in church, that claim to be a brother and sister, that claim to be a saint of God, usually don't always agree. You know,
sorry.
Is that the only rule? No, but usually, you know, that's the reason because someone is operating in the Spirit. If someone is operating in their flesh, but claim to be a brother or sister in the gospel. But if we are operating in the same Spirit, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, why don't we all agree? So we have to ask ourselves, why don't everybody, every single, just think of it like this. Every single person all over the world, all over the world, that say they saved, they say that they are filled with the Holy Ghost, they say that they love the Lord, they say that they love Jesus Christ. Why don't we all agree on everything? Why don't we all agree on the Word? Why there's still debate over the Word? If we say,
right,
we all got the same Spirit of Jesus Christ, you know, because we allow our flesh will have a tendency to get in the way. And that's the religious part, the religious aspect, you know, tradition, stuff like that can come and get in the way. You know, but if we allow the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ to clean us up, you know, I think it becomes easier throughout the body of Christ, throughout the whole land, throughout the world, you know. So,
amen. I agree. I would like to add to what you were saying, Elder Taylor. I think that when you were speaking about not agreeing and stuff like that, I would say that two different ways to approach that comment. I would say, on top of what you're saying, like, we don't have to always agree as saints. We've seen that example in the Bible, if you think about it. If you look at Peter and Paul, didn't always agree, but they can at least come together for the sake of the Lord and work things out. So they didn't always agree eye to eye. You know, they didn't have, the best connection, so to speak, but at the end of the day, they know how to come together for the Lord. Paul has called out Peter a couple times for different things that he did, but, you know, you could be able to do that and still have, you know, a good connection to where it's not a bad reflection on Christianity. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, it's an awesome comment, but like you said, we're not going to always agree on everything, but at the end of the day, we could still agree to look out for each other. We ain't got to be dirty or nasty towards each other, but we could always come together, even if we don't agree. And I definitely, you know, thank you for your comment.
I like to add one more thing, because the world is watching what the body of Christ is doing and what the body of Christ is saying they're doing.
Right.
And the difference between the two.
And like
what we're talking about tonight, the synopsis of what we're talking about tonight, is that they're looking at how we treat each other. They're looking at how the body of Christ, people that say they love the Lord, the world is watching. And the world,
right.
You know, and if they see we're acting like the world, they ain't gonna want what we got. If they see that we're acting just like them,
right?
You know, so they need to see a difference in us. And I believe it's a scripture somewhere with love, and it says, "With love and kindness have I drawn thee."
I'm not
quite sure what that means, but I believe there's a scripture that says, "With love and kindness have I drawn thee." You know, so we have to keep that in mind. You know, so I'm done unless the Spirit gives me something else. But I think I'm done.
No, thank you. And I forgot what I was going to say earlier with second part to your comment. Also, when it comes down to, you know, everybody ain't going to agree. That's true. Everybody ain't going to agree because we may have different opinions, and, like you said about that. But at the end of the day, we're all connected spiritually, you know, then we should know, we should be able to come together on the word. So at the end of the day, regardless of if me and you look at the same scripture, we get two different things or whatever, the Bible is right regardless. So let the word be the truth. So at the end of the day, that's what's going to, we can have any discussion about our own interpretations of any scriptures, but at the end of the day, the word is still right.
That's right.
So I just wanted to say that the word has
Amen.
The final say, the Bible has the final say.
Amen. Amen. Great lesson on tonight. Great commentary from you guys. I mean, wonderful. I want to go back to verse 8 where it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And I want to deal with the whole verse, but I want to take the second part of that verse first. When I read that, and when it says, "But he that soweth to the Spirit," and I'm thinking about the ways that we sow to the Spirit by reading the Word of God, by having prayer, by having a relationship with God, by building up our spiritual man in God's word, walking in holiness and walking in righteousness. So we're sowing to the spirit man, and the word says, so we will reap life everlasting. Now, when we sow to the flesh man, a lot of times people think only, you know, that they think about fornication, adultery, you know, maybe excessive eating, gluttony, maybe jealousy, things like that is sowing to the flesh. But we also have to be careful what we sow to the flesh by using our eyes and our ears, because there's things on television that we probably shouldn't even be watching, because it too can sow to the flesh without you realizing it, maybe at that moment, but it'll sow something inside of maybe your mind and your thoughts that's not like God. So when I think of sowing to the flesh, we also need to be mindful of what we allow ourselves to see and allow ourselves to hear. I mean, there's some music we shouldn't be vibing to, because it could be sowing to our flesh. Now, if you listen to some stuff and you okay, that might not affect you, but somebody, maybe your spouse or somebody next to you, could be listening to the same thing, and they get a different kind of vibe, and you begin to start thinking different thoughts. You begin to start thinking things that you've done before that were good to your flesh, and that will make you sow to your flesh. So I think we need to be mindful of what we allow our eyes to see that we have control over, and what we allow our ears to hear that we have control over, so that we don't sow to the flesh. We got to be careful. Those are open opportunities right there. Our eyes and our ears are open opportunities for us to do wrong with. See, that's why the Word of God says faith cometh by hearing. That's why we have to read the Word and read it out loud so that we can hear the Word of God instead of constantly being in front of the television, watching things on there, taking things in, when we can use that opportunity to study and read the Word of God. We don't have enough time, but I do think we have enough time. I think it's what we use, how we use our time. I think that's the issue, is really how we use it. Because we do have enough time. We have enough time to sit and get into the presence of God. I think we just don't take the opportunity to do it. We look at the phone. We look at TikTok. We look at YouTube. We can tell you all of the challenges that's going on TikTok. You know, we can tell you what's going on YouTube. But we don't take the time to sit and get into the presence of God and ask him for his wisdom, ask him for his direction. Verse 5 told us, for every man shall bear his own burden. What are you doing with your time? What are you allowing your eyes to look at?
That's good.
What are you allowing your ears to hear? It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
But you got to examine yourself to find out what you are really doing in your relationship with Christ. You really have got to examine your own self and say to yourself, am I really taking the time out to even have a relationship with God? Or am I just living this religious experience because I do all the religious things? I go to church. Okay, I listen to Tuesday night Bible study, even though, you know, they always encourage, we always encourage everybody to go back and read the Word. Do you go back and read it? Or do you just take it for face value when we teach it? Because you yourself have to bear your own burden. What are you allowing yourself to do? So are you sowing to your flesh, or are you sowing to your spirit?
That's good.
Which one do you do more?
Yes.
We've got to give an account ourselves. We've got to stand before God ourselves. You yourself, anybody who's listening to me on tonight, you yourself, what takes up the most of your time? Examine yourself. What takes up the most of your time? Are you putting it in? Do you understand the assignment, as they say? Do you understand the assignment? Get into the Word of God. That's going to transform your life. That's going to transform, because then you know God has got you, and you can trust God at his word because you give it back to him. And God said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. And because you gave me my word back to me, I have to fulfill it. Examine yourself. Thank you for this reminder, Minister Tolbert, because this is reminder to me, okay, where's my time? What am I allowing my eyes to see? What am I allowing my ears to hear? Am I putting
right.
in my time?
God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And I'm just going to say this one thing, and that is I'm completely done. But sum this up, I just want to say just make sure that we support each other. Make sure that we are connected, because when we support each other, we show a good connection and we show unity in the church. So at the end of the day, it is important to have a good connection with Christ and with your brothers and sisters, because that would be a good connection versus showing the world a bad reflection of Christianity. Service into the hand of Evangelist Shanton and Elder Taylor.
All right. As always, awesome, awesome word from our teacher tonight, Minister Tolbert. We thank you so much, my brother, for putting in the time and being in connection with the Lord as you spoke tonight and as you prepared for the word tonight. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you from our hearts and from all the panel members that are on, that are listening, and everyone else that is tuned in. The panel members, I appreciate you. I love you. I care for you. I pray for you and your families, as I do everybody. But I just want to thank the panel members, particularly tonight, as I try to do always. I thank you. I love you guys. All that you do for our Bible study and all that you do for Praise Tabernacle Church. And also, I thank you for your humbleness and your meekness. I thank you for that, because I don't see any high-mindedness amongst the leadership of Praise Tabernacle. You know, if there is, I don't see it. And the Spirit hasn't allowed me to see it, if there is. But I don't believe that there is. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for being humble, for being meek, and adhering to the word of God. Thank you for all the comments that were put out there tonight. And I just pray that somebody got something from the word tonight, and that was encouraged, and that was blessed by the great teaching of our Minister Tolbert. And so at this time, we're going to turn it back over to Evangelist Stanton, and she will dismiss us tonight. We don't have any prayer requests or praise reports through our emails, but she will give you our email, and then she will dismiss us. Evangelist Stanton, the floor is now yours, ma'am.
Thank you, Elder Taylor. It's an honor to serve with you guys. Thank you, Minister Tolbert, for Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. Once again, that is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. We definitely will be going back through this to just reread it. We thank God for his word. We don't have any prayer requests or praise reports on tonight, but we definitely continue to keep each other in prayer. We do pray for all of our listeners on tonight, our panel, our pastor, his family, and all of your families. We pray that if anyone is traveling for Thanksgiving, we pray Psalms 91 over you, that God would keep you, that he would guide you and strengthen you on the road or by plane, however you're traveling, that you would get to your destination safe and sound and then return home safe and sound. We pray that everybody would have a good holiday, Thanksgiving. And even for those who are not in a good position, or if you're by yourself, or for the holidays, we just want to encourage you to trust God, to pray, and just ask God to, you know, put somebody in your path. Maybe you're called to be a blessing with somebody. You may think you're by yourself when you're supposed to be reaching out to somebody else. I just pray peace over everyone and just God's mercy and his grace over you. We love our the word and our scripture that we always say every week is coming from Matthew chapter 28, but I will like to say a real quick prayer, and then I will read Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for it being a reminder to our lives in this walk that we walk on a daily basis, God. Father God, that we humbly submit and surrender ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Not that we've obtained or that we know it all, God, but we seek first the kingdom of heaven and all your righteousness, God. Teach us in your word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let us be mindful to love others, even in spite of whatever kind of day they're having, to give an encouraging word, to speak life, because it could be us on the other side of that position. Father God, we just thank you for your word, because it is a living word. Let it change and transform our mind and our thoughts and our thinking. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you pour back into Minister Talbert everything that he poured on tonight. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory, God. And the word says in Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And if you would like our email address, it is ptc4christ@gmail.com. Once again, that's P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, forchrist@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you, and have a wonderful night, and have a blessed Thanksgiving. Amen, and good night.
Good night.